Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Holy is He. Lord God, we just lift up your name. We declare your holiness, and I ask you, Father, let this year, let the name of Jesus be revealed in its glory. To the nations, to people outside the church, reveal the glory of God to people that will never see it in a church. Reveal your glory. Show who you really are. Show off, Lord. Show off. Show them who you are. People don't get it, but they need to. Show your heart, your goodness, the power of your blood, the power of your blessing. How much you love and care for people, even who have declared themselves your enemy. Show yourself strong, Lord. Knock them down. Knock them down in your love. You said, Father, that the day will come when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The waters cover the sea so deeply, it goes miles. Think about it. If the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, we're talking about a lot of glory. A lot of presence, a lot of the acts of God. That's a lot. Reveal it, Lord. Open the gates, open the gates, open the gates. Break them open. There's too much belt held back. There's been too much held back. And I feel like sometimes by the church, help us, Father, to release and remove anything that stands in the way of what you want to do. And we love the church, but Father, let egos be put down and Jesus be lifted up. Let kingdoms that are not your kingdom be set aside. Let your kingdom be the one and only in the church. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I want to say a couple of announcements. Next week we have the women's meeting, so we're not meeting here, and so we're doing a Zoom test to see if how the sound is. And next Wednesday night we'll Zoom, Lord willing, if we can get it working properly and if the sound is okay, we will Zoom that meeting. It will not be, you know, I never really wanted to do women's meetings because I don't say anything that's gender related, tell you the truth. You know, very rarely. But that meeting will be something like a prophetic meeting. We'll start at the keyboard. And so we'll send out something beforehand to let you know if we're going to Zoom it, and we'll give you that thing. So if you're not going to the women's meeting, either because you're not a woman or because you're just not going, you'll be able to just call into it, okay, or dial into it on your computer. And then the following week, which is the 21st, we have Nate Colson coming with Garden Missions, and one of his men that work with him, I believe his name is Paul. They're going to do some worship and some, you know, whenever Nate comes, it's a blowout, and so that's going to be a blaster. So, hallelujah. So the Lord is doing a whole bunch of new things, and I got to tell you, for me, it seems as though gates have been opened already, and I'm seeing things in a new way. I'm seeing a greater upheaval, but in a good way. And I've been able to see things I've not seen before and go into deeper places. And so I believe God has a lot for us in this year, or I shouldn't say in this year, but I should say starting, starting. And so one of the questions he asked me to put out there is, do you need to be unstuck? And I say that because he put it in my heart that sometimes the enemy tries to get us stuck in either thinking or an emotional spin or a sickness or the thinking that comes with a sickness threat from the enemy. And, you know, God started to talk to me because, you know, when you walk with him for a long time, you kind of learn how to, you know, it's like racquetball, right? Have you ever played racquetball? Yeah. It's fast. And when you first start playing, you're like, woo, you know. And so you have to develop some speed to hit back and to be accurate. But you know, someone could teach you all day long and you could learn the rules. They could draw it on a whiteboard. No head knowledge will make you good at racquetball. They can teach you all day long and you can totally get it, pass the test, get 100, and be terrible. Because the only way to learn anything like that is to do it and do it and do it and do it. And so there's some things that come by doing. Some things won't come through head knowledge. You have to have some head knowledge to be able to practice, right? You still need to know the rules. But in the kingdom, God was talking to me about stewardship, and you know, think of what God has given you to steward in your life. All kinds of stuff, right? If you have little children, you are stewarding their lives. And you may be creating a great preacher or a Nobel Prize winner or a great scientist or an addict. You may be raising children. They're our stewardship. Your house or your apartment, you steward that, right? And, you know, God was giving me this comparison. And if you've ever seen a large, large corporate warehouse operate, if that thing is not stewarded well by the manager, there's going to be problems. And so there's a guy that's in charge of making sure that everything is stewarded. They don't call it that, but let's say somebody leaves a bunch of cases in the aisle. That's not going to go well, right? First of all, where do they go? Someone could have an accident. There's a safety hazard. It's not stored right. Can't be picked right. It's not where it's supposed to be. So there's somebody that's always watching every part of that warehouse because they're stewarding it. And what I want to say is that there's no one that can steward you or your life except for you. And so you're given stewardship over your mind, body, soul, and spirit. People can suggest things. They can suggest improvement. They can give you advice. They can read the word to you. But at the end of the day, we have to steward our own thoughts. And here's what I really believe with all my heart. What happens on the outside comes from how we steward the inside. Uh-oh. As a man thinks in his heart, so does he become, or so does he almost, we could say, manifest. And when I heard people talk like this in my 20s, I thought they were talking about mind control. I didn't know what they were talking about. But over the years, as I watched how the word works in us, if we steward it well, I began to see it's so true. How we handle the word of God, how we handle our thoughts. And what I realized, to me, this is like stating the obvious, but what God has been telling me is that a lot of people never consider their thoughts. They never watch the flow of their thoughts. So sometimes your thoughts, which are very closely tied to your emotions, which is completely tied to your behavior, right? So whatever you're manifesting outwardly is based on what's going on the inside. And we know that's true. If you spend a lot of time hanging out with God, you're going to be a lot more loving than if you haven't had a chance to spend time with God lately, you know? Right? So kind of what's going on in your spiritual life and how you're stewarding those thoughts. So God gave me this example. He said, sometimes people think that I haven't kept my promises. And that's compared to if you ordered something off of Amazon and they delivered it outside your front door. And then by the way, a lot of times they take a picture. Click. And it proves that they delivered. And the porch pirate comes and steals the thing. And then you take Amazon to task because they didn't give you something you paid for. Was it their fault? What I'm saying is God is always delivering his promises. His promises are. They're not going to be. They are. They already exist. They're continually, continually, continually being poured out. And so if we can think differently, we can step into the open receiving of more of his promises. And so God wants to create in us, but he can't do it for us. See, I don't know people like to say God is a gentleman. I don't know if I would use that, but I would say in his creating of us, he created each of us to be a sovereign entity all our own and gave us a choice to what extent we obey, to what extent we listen, to what extent we trade our thoughts for his, our emotions for his, right? He allows us to choose how we will live our life. And I used to do it so badly that everything being manifested on the outside of my life or in my surroundings was horrible. And I thought that was all, you know, the devil's fault and people's fault and God's fault, because I didn't realize it was my fault. I didn't get that I was really doing it wrong because I didn't know how. And so sometimes people will call for help and they'll have like a knot that they've got tied. And that's not wrong. It's good, you know, if you're stuck, you know, you need to be unstuck. That's a good thing. It's good to call. It's good to pray. It's good to get it unstuck. What's good is to know you have a problem and not stay there for months on end. People lose months and even years on anger. Sadness, despondency, depression, rejection, abandonment, all kinds of stuff. Murder, murderous spirit, right? Yeah. And so if this was not true, think about this. Did you ever see a Christian manifest a really ugly demonic behavior?
Yes.
Yeah. And how can that be if we're so holy? How can that be if we're truly born again? It's because there's some part of us that we have not stewarded well. We've yielded it to another force. So it's either by suggestion of the devil, or even worse, could be a stronghold that we've allowed to come in and get hold, or maybe we were born with it, but we didn't deal with the stupid thing, and now it's manifesting through our behavior, our anger, our emotions. Addiction can be lust, can be all kinds of stuff. And I'm not judging anybody, I'm just telling you how stuff works. And what I've found is that we can find victory. So here's what I'm trying to say. We can be looking to God to deliver a package that he's like, well, I've already delivered that. I've already released that to you. Could it be that there's something blocking it? And this is not a subject of condemnation, nor is he saying you're in sin. Right? But a lot of times, you know, the devil tried to drop a package at my door about 4 a.m. And, you know, I've been around the block a couple times. But he tried to drop a sickness package. And how he does that is some symptoms start to feel like they're operating. Now, our carnal mind, not our Spirit of God mind, right? We have the mind of Christ, but where is that? It's in your born-again spirit. Your other head, which is your own one, we know that's not perfect, because if it was perfect, you'd never judge anybody, or criticize anybody. You'd never say the wrong thing. Well, we know that's not true, at least where I come from, that's not true. And because of that, we know that the mind of Christ is not the same thing as our earthly mind. Our earthly mind might take a symptom and go, oh man, the last time I had this, oh my God, it was weeks, and they had this, blah, blah, blah. And it starts to go down this road. I'm not sure how much of that is thoughts from the enemy, but the symptom is from the enemy. And so we can either steward that by going, wait, stop, hold it, stop the bus, devil. The Word of God says, and we begin to flip the switch over to what the Word says and choose willfully to enforce the Word, which we've been given legal right to do. We've been given the legal right to be the police officer over our own thoughts. Does condemnation come to you and say, oh, God's mad at you, you're no good, you're a bum? Well, do you want to spin on that for months on end and feel bad and beat yourself up? Or do you want to go, wait, hold everything? That is not what he said. That's not what he said. He said he made me his righteousness. You know, he didn't just give me righteousness, he made me. So in my born-again spirit, guess what, devil? I'm righteous. I now have a choice whose report I'm going to believe. I now have a choice to establish, and see, here's what we don't do. We don't, you need to slow down the thought process. Do you remember the cartoon where he'd say, you know, set the Wayback Machine, Peabody, or whatever it was he said? And it was like, stop the bus and stop your thoughts right there and go, wait a minute, what am I saying here? What am I really believing? Because if you don't get in the habit of monitoring and stopping it, you'll start to spin. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. And if you start to accept the thing, you'll guess what? In that case, you get sick. And we don't have to do that. But there is some training involved, just like racquetball. There's some training of seeing it by monitoring it. It takes some training. And how do you do it? You do it, and you do it, and you do it, until it becomes a response that you go, nope, no, I'm on to you. We're not doing that. And here's the problem. You may be really good at that in one area and really bad at that in another area. I recently talked to somebody who's just phenomenal at it in one area, but terrible at it in another. And because they hadn't really heard a lot of truth in that other area. And so I opened the Bible and I said, but here's the thing, the same Bible that promised you this promised you that. Can you tell me you can only believe half the Bible? No, we can't do that. The thing is either true or it's not true. The same God that said he saved you, which, by the way, to me is the single biggest miracle. That's bigger than if he took an amputated leg and drew it out. To me, saving our ugly soul is much tougher. But he did it. And yet we can believe that, but then not believe for a miracle, right? Again, no condemnation. I'm just telling you how we are. We can be really solid in one area and let another one go into decay because we haven't renewed our mind. We haven't been transformed by the renewing of our mind in that area. And I was guilty. I was real good at some things, really bad at some others. And because of it, I was paying a terrible price. Because my lack of stewardship, really, because of my ignorance, right, in that area, was allowing Satan to run roughshod over me. And here's me thinking, God didn't deliver the package, when in fact it was a porch pirate that stole my package. Because I wasn't stewarding it right. Is anyone home?
Yeah.
And so what God is trying to make us to do is be so sharp in the spirit and in paying attention to what's going on in here. Because what goes on in here determines what goes on out there. Yeah. We really can't. You know, this is what I learned. I really thought it was the devil's fault. Dumb devil. But when God, you know, kind of sat me down and had a long talk with me, I realized God is telling me there are some things I've allowed by not dealing with my thoughts, my emotions, and faith in his word, that I have allowed the dumb devil to steal my packages. And here I'm mad at God about it. Well, how dumb can you get? So God begins to deal with me so sweetly, so kindly, much better than I deserved, but he begins to tell me there's a process. There's a way that we can deal with these things and win. And I had no idea that what he meant was it is his will for us to win every single time. Does that mean there won't be a battle? No, of course there will be battles. Does it mean the devil won't try? No, he'll try. But we grow more and more shrewd. Did Jesus not say he wanted us to be as gentle as doves, but as shrewd as the devil? But we haven't been, have we? So the devil pulls stuff, and you know what? Sometimes we don't even know it's the devil. We just think it's a natural cause, so we don't even deal with it right.
That's so good.
And sometimes it is a natural cause, but isn't it a good thing to ask?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody sent me this long text, and it was like they wanted, honestly, I'm thinking, well, this is a 20-hour sermon you're asking for in a text. I can't do it. And they were saying, you know, this and this and this happened, and then this and this and this happened, and this and this and this happened, and, you know, this preacher says we should do this. What do you say? I'm like, well, first of all, what are you asking me for? You already got this programmed answer from someone who's much better than me. You know, if you want a program, just, hello. And so I was thinking, first of all, I was like, do I really have to answer this? It's impossible in a text. So I kind of, And then I kind of put the phone away, and then I picked it up and I said, well, here's the thing. They were talking about a lot of different attacks hitting everyone in their family in like in a circular boom, 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 over a couple of months. It was like a door got open and they were getting clobbered one at a time over and over. So, you know, what's the solution? By golly, Holly, I want you to tell me what to do. Well, I can only tell you what I do. How can you, okay, let's just use this example. Let's say your car starts to make a bad noise. And you just go, well, you just call your friend and go, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know, first thing you should do is open the hood and see what it is. What is it? What piece is making the noise? What is it? Come on. Then you say, now what is this? What is it doing? What's causing it? What is it? What's causing it? Come on. What is it? What's causing it? And now what's the solution? If this is going on, and we could use a million examples of what people go through, because we all have gone through this stuff. We're, I don't know, we're doing there fine, everything's going well, things are good, and then suddenly I remember a season of my life where it seemed like hell broke open. And it went on and on and on, and I thought, what, do I have a target on my head? What? I couldn't make sense of it, because it wasn't one thing, it was just one thing after another. Well, I didn't know how to troubleshoot. But really, isn't that what we're called to be? So I said to my friend, listen, the first thing I would do, because it involved several people in their family who are all spirit-filled, I said, why don't you sit down together and go before the Lord and say, what is it? What is this? First of all, is it a demonic attack? Is it witchcraft? Is it happenstance? Is it physical? Were you been spending time at the hospital with your mom? Did you catch some mungus that keeps going around? Is that physical? What is it? What is it? What is the cause of it? If it's spiritual, now we know what to do. If it's physical, now we might handle it different. In all cases, the Word of God is the solution, but you might apply it differently. Am I speaking English? So for me, what I believe the Lord has promised us is absolute victory in every area. He didn't say without a fight. But for me, there doesn't have to be a fight if I can see by his grace only, right? By spending time with him. That's why to me, if you want a pat answer, the answer is relationship with him. Lord, what is it? Lord, what's the root of it? What's causing it? And Lord, what's the solution? Because he's the only one that knows. If you ask somebody, they may give you a really good answer if that happened to somebody else. But then it may not be your answer. Right. So, if we could live a life before God, because think about it, in your body there's a bunch of different things happening. There's your born-again spirit, which is pure, right? And here's something you need to know. If you have felt dull or separated from God, you're not. He has removed every barrier between you and him, but what happens is we have let layers of ook build up between ourself and our spirit man. Do you ever think about that? That if we let layers, here's something interesting to me. If someone goes through a wounding or they're hurt badly, sometimes a self-protective layer gets built over their heart and they can no longer feel. And when that happens, sometimes they can no longer feel the presence and they can no longer hear his voice. And they say things like this, boy, I used to hear God all the time. I don't know what happened. I don't hear him anymore. And my first question is, were you wounded in such a way that you had to protect your heart, where you ceased trusting? And what usually happens is, It someone hurt them, could be in the church, maybe in their family. Someone hurt them, and they went, I am not going to trust people anymore. A callous forms, right? Because we're not going to let ourselves in for it, are we? Right? If someone has betrayed you, you don't go around handing your heart openly to just everybody, do you? And somebody, sometimes you can get to a place where you don't trust anybody. And the problem with that is it builds a callous, a thick wall that also keeps you, not that God stopped talking, not that God stopped communing, because he didn't, but there's a callus over your heart that you've got there to protect. And so what God has said is he will circumcise our hearts anew. He'll help us to peel those layers off. I was talking to somebody who, had every, if you listen to their story, they had every reason never to trust anybody again, because they'd been abominably treated by their own family. Terrible stuff. And so any of us that was raised that way, believe me, we'd have an attitude. We'd have a problem. We'd have layers. But the problem with that is, because of it, a wall had been built for protection. This person loves God with all their heart, and yet could not fully trust because of the fear of being hurt. And I was praying, and I saw this wall, and I just real gently said, is there a wall that you've put up? Yes. I said, tell me about that. Well, I was afraid that if I really let the Lord... Now, this is a person that's amazingly used of God, prophetic, has a ministry, great, great ministry, actually. But what they said was, I was afraid if I really let God in, he would find I'm not worthy. So A, lie from the pit. He made you worthy. So here again, so we went through and I said, so can you see that's a lie? Yes, I see it's a lie. I said, can you see the word of God says the opposite? Yes. I said, God isn't asking you to trust humans. Jesus did not entrust himself to man because he knew what was in their hearts. That's what the Bible says. Jesus did not entrust himself to man, because he knew they were going to kill him. But he trusted God, because God is not like the rest of us. So sometimes God gently wants to circumcise the trauma or the betrayal or the wounding. Not necessarily that you're just going to let yourself in for it with people again, but that you can trust him with everything. See, if you can't trust him with everything, how can there be a pure relationship? I need him to be able to go into every part of my soul and correct it. I need him to correct me. I need him to say, that thinking right there, Holly, that's not right. That's not what my word says. You feeling unloved, that's not of God. You feeling separated from God, that's a lie. What did he say? I will never leave you. No, never. I will never forsake you. Never. He can't lie physically. God cannot lie, the Bible says. Can't. So if he said he's never going to separate himself from you, if he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, in other words, nothing you do is going to make me leave you. If anybody leaves, it's you. If anybody builds a wall, it's you. I'm never going to build a wall. No matter how bad I screw up, yes, no matter how bad you screw up. Now, do I want to help bring you into holiness? Yes, I do. And you know why? Not so you'll be this perfect little robot, but because then Satan won't have anything he can get you on. Right. You'll be set apart unto me, and Satan's going to be really frustrated because he's got nothing on you. He has no legal right. That's why holiness is important. Right. Not because we're supposed to be good enough. We were never good enough. We have never, ever been good enough. And if your hope is in being good enough, one of the greatest days of my life was when God had to talk to me about this for 2 years every day, because I just couldn't get over it. I couldn't get past the condemnation thing, the guilt thing, and I just couldn't seem to understand. He just kept, every day, he'd give me a new perspective. Every day, he'd teach me and teach me and teach me until I finally got it. And what I finally came into a revelation knowledge was, he is 100% worthy in me every day. I have never been worthy, and I never will be in my own right. Amen. I don't have anything to offer him. Never did and never will. And if I think he's going to reward me on my flesh, that's never going to happen. Right. It's not going to happen. And so I called it, you know, just to myself, because I wasn't, you know, telling this to anybody, but I called it the 100-0 proposition. And what that means is on your worst day, he is 100%. On your worst day, his love for you is 100%. On your worst day, his healing power flowing through you, 100%. He would use me on my worst day. Here's me trying with all my heart. I mean, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm studying, I'm doing everything I know to do, probably badly, but it was everything I knew to do. And yet I would have a day where I just felt like, oh, I just don't measure up. And he would use me to heal something really big, like something we would consider big, which to him was like, you know, nothing. And I would say, how can you use me? He'd say, you still don't get it. You never heal somebody based on your righteousness because you don't have any. It is my righteousness that heals in you. It's my righteousness that lives in you. And my righteousness, the sun never goes down on my righteousness. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm righteous in you. And that was a gift that you didn't deserve. And once it went like, you know, at the carnival, the guy hits the hammer and it goes bong. You know, it was like that. It was like bong. And I got it. And from that day, I never had to feel condemned because I knew I had nothing. I knew I had no worthiness of my own. And it is okay. It's okay. I'm a screw up and it's okay. God loves me. Amen. Not because I ever did anything right, because I never did. And if I did, oh wait, it was only his grace doing it through me. And when you really get that, you can be at home with God. You can be honest. See, how can you have an honest friendship if you can't be honest with yourself? How can you have an honest relationship with him if you're always, you know, being good enough and having your mask and got it together, and God's like, would you please drop the curtain? Good heavens, like he doesn't know what's behind the mask. Like, he, you know, oh, you're fooling God. Come on. I mean, one of the things I love the most about the Lord, I've had moments where I've said, I am very upset with you because of this. Can you please help me understand? He's like, of course. Is he mad that I got upset? No. He just knows they need a little teaching, need a little correction. Did his love shift? No. He knew I was a schmo when he saved me. And he loves me the way I am. Now, is he changing me from faith to faith and glory to glory? Is he changing into more and more holiness? Yes, yes. More and more purity? Yes, absolutely. By his grace. But was that ever what made him use me? No. Never. And if you can get a hold of this, if you can be okay with, oh my God, I'm not perfect. Come on. There's people in the body that really think they're supposed to be perfect in their flesh. Paul admitted it. He said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Remember, he said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. Oh, the thing I don't want to do, I'm doing. Wretched man that I am. That's what he was talking about. He understood that there was these things, these entities within him. One was this amazing born-again spirit that housed the glory, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, operated in power. I mean, Paul operated in stuff we've not seen. You know, we've not seen it. He's an amazing man. And yet in his flesh, if you ask me, he was kind of a grump sometimes. Not really, I love Paul. But in his flesh, he was not perfect and knew it. So there's this dichotomy in all of us. And we have to come to terms with learning how to manage that or steward that. See, I'm persuaded that every person among us, every person who's born again, has been given the fullness. That sounds outrageous, doesn't it? But it says, of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Did you know that in Romans 8 it says, where it talks about us being an heir, the Passion Translation says you are an heir of all that he is and all that he has. If you think about that for a minute, it means that's everything. Everything you'll ever need to be or become or have is yours already. You are an heir. That's what it's saying. Is there any problem you have that isn't fixed by that? No. There's no human problem that he didn't fix. So our problem isn't that he didn't deliver the package. Our problem is we have not been in communion with that part of who we are. And I'm persuaded that if we can turn off our big fat head and our head knowledge and all our great doctrinal disputes, you know, the truth is if we stood in heaven, we would realize we don't know Jack. I mean, the truth is, if we stood before God, we'd be like, oh, you know, oh, sorry, you know, oops, you know. I heard one great preacher say, you know, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to go, oh, I was wrong about that, and, oh, I was wrong about that, oh, sorry, you know. We who disagreed because we had an opinion, you know.
Yeah.
But it's true. We know so very little. God isn't using us because we know a lot. And what I find is sometimes head knowledge, your head was given to help you understand the word, but sometimes our head knowledge hinders us from going into the spirit or communing with our spirit man. Now, I'm not saying I've gotten it right, but how I learned how to go into the spirit was to tell my mind, just shut up. I don't want your opinion. You don't get to have an opinion. All I want to know is what God wants. You be quiet. I'll get back to you later. Like my mind, I didn't get to, because here's why. I needed to know God's direction for my life. And here's what I learned. If you really want to hear from God, make up your mind that you do not have an opinion in whatever he says you will do, even if it costs you. Because here's what a lot of people do. They go, well, you know, I think I want to do this. How about that, God? Right? That's what you want, right? And they either don't hear or the devil goes, yeah, that's right. And they think it's God. Because they're drawn away, the Bible says, of their own lust and enticed. That's not talking about sexual lust. It's by our own desires are what lead us into deception. Because Satan will gladly give you a word that says, oh, yeah, that's the one. Yep, yes, indeedy. Yep. When in fact it was just we were drawn away of our own desires and enticed. So I made up my mind. If I want to hear from God, it's pretty easy. All I have to do is say, you are the Lord and I am not. And whatever you say, that's what goes. And I don't go to God and say, what do I do, until I have made that decision, period. And it helps if you make it once and for all. That helps, because then for the rest of your life, it's a done deal. You've already made that. You know, so if he tells you to do something dreadful, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because he is Lord, we are not. And I think a lot of our issues are because we made him Lord in 75% of our areas, but didn't quite let go of the other ones because we knew better. Ow! With our knowledge or our opinions or a decision, we knew better. Sometimes God will tell you to do something that just seems like the opposite of what makes sense. You know, walk around the city 7 times.
Right.
Blow a bunch of horns. Yeah. Oh yeah, that'll work. Yeah, sure, that'll work. You know, he likes to do things to show who he is. And so sometimes he'll give us an assignment and we don't like it. Sometimes he'll say, stop having a relationship with somebody. We go, but that's not very Christian. What did I tell you to do? Stop having a relationship with that person. Ow. Doesn't mean you can't be kind, but you may need to be kind from afar. I just threw that in for somebody. Okay, that was for somebody. And deep down, here's the deal. Deep down, quite often, we already know what God is saying, but we stifle it because that's not what we want to hear. So we can steward or manage our thoughts. You know, there are things that I would call thought gates, where a thought comes in, and usually, a lot of times, it's accompanied by a circumstance. You know, I talked to someone that had a, like someone sent them a nasty gram, was real mean, and, you know, I could understand why they were upset, but they were like, it became this, you know, and they were kind of spinning and going round and round about what if this happens, what if, this? And then so-and-so said this, and then so-and-so said, and I'm like thinking, okay, I'm in a soap opera now. And I said, you know what? They were being led by the devil. The devil dances to try to get your eyes off of the Lord. But you're not obligated to look. You're not obligated to clap to his tune. He's a jerk, right? His job is to distract you from God. So if he can do it through somebody being mad at you, oh, well, God bless them, hallelujah. Pray for their soul, bless them, hallelujah. Send them money, do something, right? Because then they have no hold on you. They have no hold on you. You bless them, pray for their salvation. Pray for them to have God encounters, love on them, and be kind. And otherwise, you're under no obligation to dance to the devil's tune. And I get it. About emotions, sometimes we need to process. And you know what? That's not wrong. But I like to process my emotions. Sometimes something happens and you kind of have to go through the process of, I can't believe that happened, and you're reacting. And that is not sin. God gave us emotions. But my way of processing, you know, after he delivered me and taught me how, is to process them with him, to work with him, and to say, man, this, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do with this. This is how I'm feeling. I'm really, you know, this hurt, that really hurt. You know, something happened a few months ago, really hurt. And I haven't been hurt in a long time. And it hurt, it hurt, I was very disappointed, and then something else happened, something else, and then something else, something else, something else, something else. It was like, okay, this is getting old. But you know, I've learned I don't have to talk to people about it. I don't have to go to a shrink. I can just hang out with the Holy Ghost, because he will always set it right, put it in perspective, and say, guess what? That's not what I'm doing. Right. I'm giving you something better. Sometimes we build up hopes, and a lot of times it's because of our words we've spoken. We build up hopes in the way something will work out, and then when it doesn't, we're sad. Okay, that's a process. But here's what I've learned. Sometimes those are false expectations because we hoped in something that wasn't really what God was doing. Or we have we're really going there, aren't we? We have a false expectation of someone's behavior, and they don't have the ability to have that behavior, and then we're wounded because they couldn't live up to what we really thought they were going to do. But whose fault is that? Oh, wait, that's mine. Because it was a false expectation. Here's something even worse. They have an expectation of you that isn't who you are. You're never going to meet it. So let's say you're married, and the woman, let's say, is expecting certain behavior of the man, and he's just... that's just not who he is. He's never going to be that guy. So she can develop woundings and wah, 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 and go to her friends, and she can let that become a thing, or she can just go, oh, you know what? That's not who he is. Let me rejoice in who he is. Let me just get over myself. I know this is terrible, isn't it? But we have to grow up. Don't we have to grow up at some point? How do you think God felt? If you read the book of Hosea, you can see how God felt when his people cheated on him. You know, in Ezekiel, it says dreadful things. He felt like his people not only cheated him, they went whoring. And he said they weren't even decent whores because they paid the guy to sleep with them. That's how he compared his people, Jerusalem and Samaria. It's horrible. And he was wounded about it, and he was angry about it. How did we get here? God has had hopes for his people. Have we ever been able to give him what he wanted? And I guess, you know, as I get older, I cease worrying so much about my deal as what does he really want? What would make him happy? What would make him say, there, somebody finally did that thing? You know, he has desires. You know, I used to think, you know, because I died to a lot of my emotions, I just didn't realize that God is very emotional. He has feelings. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, he knew what it was to be betrayed, spit on, mocked, not recognized for who he was. And it will whine, well, I don't understand who I am. Well, doo-dah. They never understood who Jesus was, disrespected him, discounted him, wouldn't believe in him. And so wouldn't it be something if we began to devote ourselves to his happiness instead of ours, his joy, his fulfillment? Wouldn't that be something? What if he finally had a people that would work at becoming what fills his needs? And so that's not our, I'll be honest, that's not our nature, because our nature is we were, you know, children of Adam, and we are very selfish because that's the nature we took on, is selfishness. You know, I'm going to get this right. There's an old movie where, it's an old movie where, what's her name? It's a John Wayne movie. And Katharine Hepburn says something like, you know, and he, John Wayne, you know, he was drinking a lot. She's telling him not to drink. She's a preacher, lady preacher. He says, that's just my nature, or something like that. She says, nature is what we were put on earth to overcome. What if we could overcome this Adamic nature and begin to walk in the nature of Jesus, which was always to put the Father's will first, even though it cost him his life, even though it cost him everything? He, in this earth, he would not get what he wanted. What if we could become like that? Didn't he say, if any man would follow me, come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me? What if we were to actually live for what God wanted? I didn't know we were going here, but I feel like God is trying to raise our sights a little bit. I just want to deal with one thing before I close. I feel like there's at least one person in here, you've felt some barriers or something between you and God, like you've not felt an open heaven. You know, you know what an open heaven is? It's where you live in an open communion with the Lord all the time, where you can have open fellowship with him and exchange that's continually going on. And God desires that for you. And for his part, he's agreed to it. But for us, sometimes we have barriers or fears or angers or depression or things didn't go my way, so I'm hurt. And I just want to lift that up right now. And Father, I just ask you right now, if there's been any walls or barriers or hurts or wounding that have created any feeling of distancing from you, right now I ask you to pour the blood of Jesus on it and absolutely dissolve it, that there be no separation, no feeling of separation between each person and you, that they would be able to walk in an open heaven, knowing that it's not required for our flesh to be perfect for that to happen, knowing that you've already done the perfection, and that as we fellowship with you, we become more like you. We become perfected. But that's the only way to do it, is through that relationship, through that fellowship. That's the only way. It's only by his grace anyway. So, Father, I thank you for it. I feel like I'm supposed to break trauma. I break trauma off of people who have been, they've taken so many hits that it has been a thing in their heart. It's been too hard, too much, too many hits for too long. And right now, by a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit, he is removing the dings and the dents and the woundings of so many hits that you took, so many disappointments. And I just release you from those, that you can see God. You can be like a little child who sees God, so to speak, in the Spirit, who sees the face of God without feeling any separation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.